In the last hour, the Supreme Court of the United States issued a ruling that affected the 1965 Voting Rights Act. They struck down portions of that act in ways that could have a profound impact on how people go to the polls and the laws that affect that voting all across America. Joining us to talk about the decision is Professor Alan Rostron. He is a constitutional law scholar and professor of law here at UMKC. Professor Rostron, thank you so much for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you.
I know it's only been a short time since the court's ruling was released, but from your quick perusal of what they've decided, can you tell us a little bit about what the court decided?
It's interesting, and it's a little complicated. Basically, you have to sort of go all the way back to the 1960s, when obviously there was a lot of racial discrimination in voting in many places, especially in the South. And so Congress decided to deal with that by prohibiting that discrimination. But to make that an even more effective mechanism, they created this system under which some places that had particularly severe problems with racial disparities in voting, they would require them to get the federal government's approval before they could make any change in their voting procedures, voting laws, the location of the districts, or how one registers to vote, or whatever. They would have to, you know, obviously states normally can just decide how they're going to hold their elections, but these specially covered states would have to go to the federal government, to the U.S. Department of Justice, and get permission in advance for any change in how they run their elections. And so that's been in place ever since. The problem that the Supreme Court found with it today is that is not with this requirement, which is known as the preclearance requirement. What they struck down instead is the formula that's used to decide which parts of the country are going to be subject to this special requirement. The formula that is still in place is based. It was set back in the late 1960s and the early 1970s, and it's right now 9 states are covered by it. Most of them are in the South, but Alaska and Arizona are included as well. But you have Louisiana and Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, Virginia, uh-huh. That sort of thing. And so they based it on what your discrepancies were in voting, how many people basically were voting back in 1964, 1968, and 1972. So if you had below 50% of your population that was registered or voting back in those presidential elections, and you'd had some kind of tests like a literacy test or a good character test, good morals test that were probably discriminatory in nature, you would be covered by this. And that coverage formula, Congress has reauthorized the statute over the years, and they've never changed that coverage formula.
So they've changed some of the states or counties. They just haven't changed the formula used.
They haven't even too much changed the counties. For the most, it gets a little complicated. There are ways you can get off the list of special states, and some states, you know, Michigan or New York, California, they have a few counties that are on it and others that are not. But for the most part, this block of 9 covered states has remained constant for the most part. And again, Congress just, for whatever reason, when they reauthorized this legislation in 1982 and in 2006, they didn't redo the formula and use new data about what voting patterns were in more recent elections. And the majority of the Supreme Court, it was 5-4, so it was close, but the majority of the Supreme Court looked at it and said, times have changed a lot since 1964, 68, 1972. You know, back in those days, for example, Mississippi, maybe 7% of African-American people were registered to vote in Mississippi back in those days. Today, it's much, much higher, and it is close to the rate of white voters. So they feel like progress has been made, and this is now irrational to keep using this old formula.
Sure. So they struck down the formula itself. You mentioned that they didn't strike down the idea that there could be a legitimate formula that could be used in the future.
Yes.
How likely is that to actually happen? It would have to be passed by Congress, right?
That's correct. So theoretically, it would be relatively easy for Congress to write a new law that would satisfy the constitutional requirement here. One judge, Clarence Thomas, who often has kind of unique views, he felt that the whole requirement of preclearance or advance permission from the federal government is unconstitutional across the board.
But he would have struck down the whole thing.
Yeah, the whole thing. Congress couldn't fix the problem and return it. But the other judges, Scalia and so forth, Justice John Roberts, Chief Justice, they just felt, no, it's just the formula. It's bad. It's just out of date. It's obsolete. So they could fix it theoretically, but as a practical matter, look at Congress these days. They don't get a lot done. Obviously, there's a sort of a partisan gridlock there, and so I think all observers think it's pretty unlikely that an updated formula would get through Congress. So in essence, the Supreme Court's decision means the end of this kind of preclearance requirement, unless Congress somehow could get its act together and create a new formula.
Kansas and Missouri were not among the states that were preclearance states.
Correct.
Does this still have implications for our local listeners? How will this have an impact on American politics?
Well, I guess to the extent that it affects the national political scene, then, you know, it sort of affects the interests of voters here in Missouri and Kansas, obviously, at least in an indirect way. In other words, there have been great improvements. I think everybody would agree there have been great improvements in voting. And, you know, we have an African-American president and people vote in much larger numbers for all races than the problems we had back in the 1960s. But obviously, with recent elections, there's accusations, for example, that the voting mechanisms in different places are not the same, and so you might in minority places you might have longer lines of people, and they might not stay and vote. Or there have been accusations, obviously, with the whole Florida problems in Florida about more minority voters being purged from the voter rolls improperly and that sort of thing. So there certainly are still issues out there, and this makes it somewhat harder for the federal government to police those things. And so, to some extent, that can influence the outcome of future elections.
Professor Rostron, just as we're almost out of time here, mm-hmm. This has been quite a week at the Supreme Court. They saved until this last week of their term many significant decisions, obviously still waiting for decisions, especially regarding the two major cases involving same-gender marriage. I wonder, do you think there's anything we can glean from the way the decisions have been going this week about what will happen in those cases, or is any effort to predict what the Supreme Court will do a fool's errand?
It is somewhat hard to predict. It does suggest the Supreme Court likes a little bit of drama. They just seem to be spacing out these big decisions, sort of parceling them out one at a time. And so tomorrow will be the day they've announced when they'll finish. And so the same-sex marriage decisions obviously will come out that day. You can kind of tell by which decisions have been made who will write them. And so it really does come down a lot to Justice Kennedy, the swing voter in the middle.
So stay tuned for tomorrow. That's Professor Alan Rostron. He's the William R. Jacques Constitutional Law Scholar and Professor of Law at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. Professor Rostron, thanks for taking a few minutes with us this morning.
You're very welcome.
Coming up, we'll have the summer edition of Nature in the City, our every few months venture through the flora and fauna of the Kansas City metro area. We'd love to have you be part of that conversation. If you have questions about what you are seeing and hearing out there in the city, on the sidewalks, by the side of the roads, give us a call. 816-235-2888 is the number. You can also be emailing us now at centralstandard@kcur.org. Stay with us. You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR.